Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the largest segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they have become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Today we're going to begin in an unusual place. We're going to discuss the corporate mergers, all in a design to lead us to something that I promised yesterday that we would discuss today, which is Big Pharma and whether or not the drugs Big Pharma is making can be overlooked and you can instead maintain your health by drinking beyond tangy tangerine. And in that vein, let's begin with a merger. Reynolds American has agreed to buy Lorillard for a scant $27 billion in pocket change, combining two tobacco giants that will together market Newport, Camel, Pall Grizzly, and smokeless tobacco, and a e-cigarette called Vuse. At the same time, Reynolds said that it would sell some of its brands, including Kool, Salem, Winston, and Blue e-cigs, to Imperial Tobacco, making Imperial a major U.S. competitor for the first time. The deal gives the number one tobacco company, Altria, the owner of the Philip Morris brands, a much more formidable competitor. It could also reduce the workforces of the companies and raise cigarette prices. Now, you might say, why would I share this and the news that follows in a segment devoted to exposing the conspiratorial lie regarding a big pharmacy, as well as the pyramid scheme myth that you don't need the products that pharmaceutical companies offer if you just drink our snake oil? The reason is really fairly simple, as you will see by the next segment, which is that the conspiracy theorists view that pharmaceutical companies are trying to poison you, that they have this great scheme to rob you of your money and take control of your life and your health, is misplaced. Not only aren't they doing that sort of thing, there are two groups of companies that actually should be the focus of moral people's rage. One of them is the cigarette companies. Companies like Reynolds. Companies like Philip Morris. What they're selling kills. If you use their product as intended, it will kill you. You will get lung cancer. You will get mouth cancer. You will get throat cancer. And you hugely increase your chances of getting other forms of cancer. Your health will be negatively impacted. It is for certain. It is not a possibility. You know, this is a product that if you use as it's designed to be used, it will pollute you. It will poison you. You ought to be angry at them, not pharmaceutical companies. Now, there's another group, and I don't have a merger news today to lead into it, but it just strikes me that there's another product that if you use it as intended, it will kill you. It will destroy your liver. It will rob you of your health. It will rob you of your capacity to exercise good judgment. Their product, used as intended, kills. It's habit forming, just as are the cigarettes, but it provides a toxin for the body. And these products, and I'm going to name the five largest companies, which no one in the conspiracy world seems to want to speak out against, but the product that they make literally attacks brain cells and kills them. Now, if you think that you've got more than enough brain cells and that it's appropriate for you to go off and kill some of yours to dumb yourself down, then have at it. But I want to tell you, this conspiracy focus on Big Pharma is insane. as we will find out in a moment. And why isn't it pointed at, well, I'm going to share five companies with you. Diageo. Probably never even heard of Diageo. I had never heard of Diageo until I did this bit of research this morning. They sell an annual volume of 126 million cases of hooch. Their brand names are Johnny Walker, Crown Royal, J&B, Smirnoff, Kettle One, Captain Morgan. All inebriating toxins. All in the range of 80 proof, about 40% alcohol. Their home turf is London, England. Diageo is not the name of some 18th century whiskey smith. Instead, it's a relatively new corporate entity. It was spawned in 1997 from the merger of Guinness, the Irish beer manufacturer, and Grand Metropolitan. Diageo originally had its hands in both food and beverage, but dissolved its food operations by selling off Burger King and Pillsbury in 2000. Now it's become the Yankees, that's being not Northerners, but the team, the baseball Yankees of liquor distribution, with the world's largest volume, the largest U.S. market share, and the brand recognition that goes with selling some of the flashiest names in the business. The second largest seller of poison, instead of breathing this poison, you drink this poison with an annual volume of 125 million cases, just ever so slightly smaller than the number one seller of alcohol, is United Spirits Limited. Their home turf is Bangalore, India. Their brands are McDowell's and Black Dog Whiskies, Pinky and White Mischief Vodkas, and Celebration Rum. United Spirits owes its roots to the 1920 Scottish company Angus McDowell, but came under Indian ownership when Vittal Maliya purchased the company in 1951. Now run by Vittal's son, Vijay, it's known as the King of Good Times. The group controls 59% of the Indian alcohol market, as well as interest in several unrelated ventures. Number three is Pernod Ricard. Annual volume, 123 million cases. You know, this is 126 million cases, 125, 123. All fairly evenly paired. Home turf of Pernod Ricard is Paris, France. Its notable brands are Absolut Vodka, Jameson, Beefeater Gin, Malibu, Kahlua, and the Glenlivet Scotch. Pernod Ricard was born in a 1975 merger between two French liquor makers and is now an international behemoth, home to some of the world's most recognizable brands. Where Diageo and United Spirits are going for volume, Pernod Ricard is aiming for the high-end market with its self-avowed tactic of premiumization, which is a totally obvious when you browse through their catalog of grandma-enticing liqueurs like Pumpkin Spice Kahlua. The number four seller of drinkable poison with an annual volume of 54 million cases, a third the size of the others, has a home turf in Osaka, Japan. Yes, the company Jim Beam, Crevassier, Maker's Mark, Schweppes are all owned by Suntory, an Osaka, Japan-based company. Suntory's history dates back to the 1890s when Shinjiro Tori realized that his grapes were worth more fermented than fresh. The company is now a household name in Japan. Its non-alcohol beverage sales account for about $4 billion alone. Suntory's whiskeys, created in the Scottish tradition and made as early as the 1920s, should seem right at home alongside bourbons like Jim Beam and Maker's Mark. Could this kind of lasting corporate marriage it is that gets lawyers and booze hounds salivating? Bacardi is number five, by the way, 38 million cases. Of course, their most famous brand is Bacardi Rum, but they also own Dewar's, Grey Goose Vodka, and Bombay Sapphire. It is a company that is headquartered in Bermuda. Now, if you want to have an adversary in the corporate world, I mean, I can give you three places to go. Place number one would be those companies that make cancer sticks, the cigarette manufacturing companies. That's where we began. Number two, the companies that make the most prevalent mind-altering drugs, the most prevalent drug designed specifically to dumb its victims down, be the alcohol companies. Now, I'm not talking about wine and beer. Wine and beer are the drinks of civilization. Had it not been for wine and beer, civilization would not exist. But hard alcohol, when you're dealing with distilling alcohol, it's an entirely different story. If you wanted to hate companies, then I would turn your attention to those that make death machines. You know, Lockheed Martin, Grumman, Halliburton. You know, companies that manufacture death and destruction. Well, those would be companies to draw a line in the sand and say, these are evil corporations. But no, that's not where the conspiracy advocates go. They don't like big pharmacy. Now, in the case of the ad that I objected to yesterday, the claim was that big pharmacy makes things that are specifically designed for you to be hooked on, that do you no good, and that you'd be vastly better off if you swallowed their potion than the drugs made by the pharmaceutical companies. Now, that's utter nonsense, as we will consider in a moment. But first, this from the news. Yesterday it was announced that London-based drug maker Shire PLC succumbed to an increased £31 billion, $53 billion takeover from AbbVie Inc. on Monday, signaling the conclusion to a long-running courtship largely motivated by tax considerations. Shire said it was ready to recommend the deal, the latest in a list of mergers by U.S. firms seeking to cut their tax rates. If you're listening to this program and you live in America, this should send shockwaves through your system. And I don't want you to blame the companies for doing this. I want you to blame your country for setting up the scenario where it needs to be done. It's not the reason I'm telling you this story. It's just because I wanted a news lead into what pharmaceutical companies make and what people buy from them. But the primary reason for the merger is to save tax expense. Taxes in the United States corporately are the highest in the world. There, if you want to know why the U.S. economy is slumbering, if you want to know why it is so imperiled, if you want to know why America is no longer the leading manufacturer of products and that China has not only passed it, but China is growing it at an incredible rate, and the United States is not actually shrinking in terms of manufacturing. It's because of corporate tax. 35%. The government is not only stealing right off the top 35% of what corporations make, but keeping them from investing that in their businesses and keeping them from building businesses in America. But also you've got the 15% that corporations have to pay on other kinds of taxes, everything from their contribution, about 7.5% from Social Security, to their contribution for Medicare, to duties and state taxes and local taxes and property taxes and everything else you can imagine. It's just egregious. Citing people familiar with the matter, Reuters had reported on Saturday that Shire, a maker of drugs for rare diseases, had asked AbbVie to sweeten his offer to near £53 per share in order to recommend the deal. The proposed offer seems like it's a fair deal that represents good value for both shareholders, said McCooper, an analyst for Edison Investment Research. Shares in Shire, founded in 1986, hit a record high of $50 or £50. In mid-morning trading, AbbVie is eager to buy Shire to reduce its U.S. tax bill by moving its tax base to Britain, a tactic known as inversion, to diversify its drug portfolio. The U.S. group gets nearly 60% of its revenue from arthritis drugs, primarily the arthritis drug Humira, the world's top-selling medicine. Now, according to the research I've done, Humira isn't the world's top-selling medicine, but it is in the top two or three drugs in the world, which loses its patent protection in 2016, just 2 years from now. Analysts at Barclays estimated the move would provide an estimated $1.3 billion tax savings by 2020, reflecting lower UK corporate tax rates. AbbVie has proposed creating a new US-linked holding company with a tax domicile in Britain, whose corporate tax rate is set to drop below 20% from 2015, well below the US headline rate of 35% plus state and local taxes. The UK government has also introduced tax breaks designed to encourage research and development. We expect the majority of the tax savings to be realized in the first 2 years, Barclays said, one of their analysts. So here we have a U.S. Drug company that is buying a British drug company, because they want their revenues to come mostly from European operations because of the tax burden. So if you want to know why drugs are expensive, well, first, the United States tax burden. Second is, and they didn't mention it here, but it's nonetheless true, the legal system in the United States is broke. It is absolutely bankrupt. And juries who have been dumbed down by political correctness are affording class action suit beneficiaries to pocket billions of dollars against pharmaceutical companies. The realization is that anytime you make something, for example, this particular medicine, Humira, is an asthma medication, it will have some side effects. We're all not exactly the same. We all react to things differently. And so this is a product that may benefit 99.999% of those that it serves. In fact, many people may be alive just because they had access to this product. And yet a few people may react negatively, and they are in a position to sue the company for billions. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm going to share, as I promised to do yesterday, the top 50 drugs by dollar sales in America, and then the top 50 drugs by number of prescriptions filled in America, and what they do. And the purpose of this is to demonstrate that two things. One is in the ad that played in yesterday's program by Youngevity, that the pharmaceutical companies aren't trying to poison you, and you cannot get the same benefit from a mix of vitamins and minerals with some artificial flavor in a drink mix that you can from these prescription drugs, that they all serve a purpose, and that the purpose has helped many people, that you should not look at pharmaceutical companies as part of a conspiracy to do you harm. All right, in order of dollar sales, Abilify is the number one drug in the world, $6.8 billion worldwide. It treats bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, autism, and depression. Abilify. Nexium, by the way, psychiatric drugs. And, you know, this is a drug specifically designed for bipolar disorder. I've had a friend that, in fact, two friends that suffered from bipolar disorder. And when they were not medicated, it was, they were impossible to live with. Schizophrenia is a terrible psychiatric condition. Autism, of course, robs so many of our young people of their ability to interact with others. I, one time in my life, for a very short time, was depressed. I know what it's like to be depressed. Now, I had good reason to be depressed, but being depressed serves no purpose. And ultimately, you just have to stand on your own two feet and make the best of the situation you're in. Anyway, Abilify is part of psychiatric drugs. Collectively, they represent $12 billion in total sales, so Abilify, that is at least the $12 billion, is $12 billion among the top 50-some-odd drugs. So Abilify is more than half of the total. Nexium, which is has just recently come off prescription. You can buy Nexium now over the counter. It is acid reflux. It is $6.3 billion in worldwide sales. The drug that was the feature of the last article, Humira, is a asthma remedy. My youngest son occasionally suffers from asthma, and without these breathers that shrink the bronchial passage ways, when an allergic response or something triggers a swelling, can be life and death. I mean, this is not something to be encouraging people not to use who need it. It can literally be life and death and can bring a huge improvement to the quality of life for those who use it. $5.9 billion in sales. Crestor is the leading high cholesterol medication. We've done wonders in terms of pharmaceutical products to help people bring down cholesterol, $5.5 billion. Advair Diskus is an asthma medication, $5.1 billion in sales. Imbril, $4.8 billion in sales. It treats psoriasis and arthritis. Collectively, the medications designed to treat psoriasis provide $7 billion in total sales amongst the top 50 drugs. So Imbril is the lead dog in that pack by a considerable margin. Remicade is the seventh most popular prescription drug by sales volume at $4.2 billion. It counters the effects of Crohn's disease, which is an inflammation of the gastrointestinal tract, particularly bowel inflammation. So it's Remicade. Cymbalta is a serotonin inhibitor. It would be the second psychiatric drug on our list. Cymbalta, $4 billion in annual sales, treats depression, anxiety, and some of the painful consequences of diabetes. Copaxone is a multiple sclerosis drug. $5 billion in total among the top 50 drugs in treating multiple sclerosis. This particular drug, Copaxone, is $3.7 billion. Now, if you think you can treat multiple sclerosis, you think you can treat Crohn's disease, you think you can treat psoriasis and asthma, high cholesterol, and acid reflux through your consumption of tangy tangerine, then I'm sure I'm not speaking to a reasonable person, and I'm wasting my time. But for those of you who are still clinging to this myth that big pharmaceutical companies are somehow evil and often a conspiracy to bring you harm, I thought you might benefit from knowing the truth about what these companies make. Neulastra represents $3.6 billion in sales worldwide. While it treats the lack of white blood cells caused by cancer chemotherapy. Lantus, Solostar, $3.4 billion in sales. It is an insulin product for diabetes patients. Collectively, the diabetes products, insulin products for those who suffer from diabetes, is $20 billion amongst these top 50 drugs. In other words, even though it's number 11 on the list before we get to an insulin-based product at $3.4 billion, it is so prevalent in the drugs that follow. It represents by far the largest segment of the pharmaceutical market, is helping to provide insulin to keep diabetes patients alive. Now, you think you can get that in your tangy tangerine? Then I have some snake oil that I'd like to sell you. Lantus Solostar. Okay. Rituxan provides $3.3 billion in annual sales. It treats non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Collectively, of these top 50 drugs in sales volume, $16 billion total is for cancer. And so it is the second largest. As a matter of fact, it might even be fair to say that it's $19 billion if you deal with the treatment of the effects of cancer treatment. You're at about $19 billion for cancer-related drugs. This one for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Spiriva, hand inhaler is H-A-N-D-I-H-A-L-E-R. So it's a Spiriva handy inhaler, all truncated. $3.1 billion reduces bronchial spasms from emphysema and bronchitis. So it's an asthma-related inhaler. Juaniva, $2.9 billion in sales. It manages type 2 diabetes. Atripla is one of several drugs that we're going to see in the top 50 list that have been developed to mitigate the consequence of HIV infection. This one at $2.9 billion is part of a $7 billion total for HIV patients. It's easy to see with $7 billion in HIV medication why Obamacare was specifically designed to make health care affordable to those who have HIV while making it unaffordable to those who have been more careful. Lantus is number 16, $2.8 billion. It's also insulin-based treating diabetes. Avastin, number 17, $2.7 billion. It treats cancer, generally lung cancer specifically. Lyrica is a diabetes, nerve pain, shingles, spinal cord injury drug, $2.6 billion worldwide. So there are consequences of diabetes in terms of nerve pain. And also, I don't know of those of you who have had shingles, but I've had shingles. It's a residual effect of chickenpox later in your life that is provides a rather significant pain. Oxycontin is a pain-related drug, $2.5 billion. It is the reason that Oxycontin has become so popular is that it's unlike aspirin. It's in the aspirin family, but aspirin has a threshold to effectiveness. The more you take, you don't get a benefit. There's a threshold to how effective aspirin can be. But with OxyContin, the more you take, the more relief from pain you get. It provides four times more relief than aspirin, making more severe pain manageable. Collectively, these pain medications, and this is the first one on our list, it's number 19, provide $6 billion in total revenue among the top 50 drugs. Epogen is a low blood cell anemia product. It's specifically designed to deal with the problem of low red blood cells for those with kidney disease and those undergoing dialysis, $2.3 billion in sales. Celebrex, $2.3 billion. It treats primarily arthritis pain, but also menstrual cramps. It is an anti-inflammatory. Arthritis, of course, is an inflammation in the joints. Truvada is another of the HIV infection drugs, $2.3 billion in sales. Number 23 is Diovan, $2.2 billion. It treats the high blood pressure. It's a high blood pressure medication that is given to those who have had heart failure of some sort or a heart attack to prevent future heart attacks, $2.1 billion. Gleevec is a leukemia-fighting drug at $1.995 billion. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're talking about drugs that perform marvelous feats of healing in the human body. And during the break, I was looking at the tragedy that's taking place right now in Western Africa. Over 600 people have now died in the current outbreak of Ebola. Almost 70. This past week alone, there is no cure. Well, death is death will end the misery of Ebola, but it's one of the worst, most deadly, painful, disgusting diseases in the world. And unfortunately, there is no cure. So number 24 on the list is Gleevec. It is a leukemia-fighting drug. Leukemia, of course, is blood cancer, $2 billion in sales. Herceptin is also at $2 billion in annual sales. It is a drug designed to minimize the consequence and the spread of breast cancer. Lucentis, at $1.9 billion, deals with macular degeneration and the loss of vision, particularly in elderly people's eyes, as their eyes begin to dry. Namenda, at $1.9 billion, is a drug that mitigates the memory loss associated with dementia. It treats Alzheimer's patients. Now, I'm sharing this with you because it's important that you know that this myth promoted by the conspiracy wackos, that big pharmacy is trying to poison you, that big pharmacy is in cahoots with government trying to fleece the people and abuse them, and that their products aren't worth taking, and that you can instead buy the snake oil that these scumbags are promoting. It's just an abomination. You know, Namenda helps those with Alzheimer's. Vyvanse is a an attention deficit hyperactivity disorder drug, $1.8 billion. Now, for those of you that say, you know, oh boy, all the stuff on ADHD and, you know, it's all wacko science and doesn't help. You know, there are many young boys and girls, and even young adults, that do suffer from attention deficit disorder. And for some, these drugs are helpful. They calm them down. And even though they're stimulants, they calm them down. And for others, they have negative effects and aren't helpful at all. And I think your first option is always to see if you can calm yourself down, if you can gain a little better discipline in your own life than to take the drugs. But I know that for some, it has made a difference. And I run into people regularly that, you know, tell me somehow they'll get into their past and how they were reckless. And they began taking these kinds of drugs, and it gave them more control over their ability to focus and therefore to succeed. The next drug is Zetia. It lowers cholesterol, 1.8 billion. Number 30 is Livinmer. It is 1.8 billion. It's another insulin product treating diabetes. Symbicort, 1.7 billion, prevents asthma attacks. Sovaldi, 1.7 billion. It's a fairly new drug. It is extraordinarily effective at fighting the detrimental effects of hepatitis C. Novolog Flexin, 1.5 billion in sales. It's another insulin drug helping those with diabetes. Novolog, 1.4 billion diabetes and insulin based drug. As a matter of fact, if you look at the two Novolog products, Novolog FlexPen and the Novolog standard product, between their, if you combine their annualized sales, it's $2.9 billion, which would make it number 16 overall on this list as opposed to independently 33 and 34. Number 35 is Tecfidera. Tecfidera. It is $1.4 billion. It treats psoriasis. Suboxone, $1.4 billion. Chronic pain. Treats opiate addiction, too. Number 37, Humalog, $1.3 billion. Insulin for diabetes sufferers. Xarelto, $1.3 billion. Prevents blood clots in those patients who have a risk of stroke. I bet tangy tangerine won't do that. We'll be back.